Hey guys,
this is a video game based podcast called Get in the Car Gamer.
The opinions and ideas expressed within are solely ours. They should not be taken seriously by anyone.
So lighten up or light up.
And enjoy the show.
Hey, get in the car, gamer.
They shall belong to us.
Round one, fight.
Dude, okay. Welcome to Get in the Car Gamer, everybody. I'm Josh Lamar. With me, as always,
Kevin Clay.
Dude, okay. Can I use this laptop as to remote play off this computer on Steam?
Yes.
What?
How robust is the connection?
Oh, it's all through the air, bud. There's no hard line. I need to grab a patch cable long enough to run from the front to the back.
Mm-hmm. But, maybe then.
Oh, really?
Maybe then. But when I tried it with my PlayStation, it was garbage, and playing Resident Evil was a nightmare. Resident Evil 8.
I mean, you are ostensibly just streaming on your screen, right?
Yes.
And then I can maybe pair...
It's doing that.
I could pair a controller with this if mm-hmm. I wanted to be in bed and be like...
Yes, you could.
My goodness.
Yes, you could.
Because it just said, Jay Lamire not available anymore. Or
right, and you and went, what like, does that mean?
What do you mean?
Yeah, you can remote sesh.
Neat.
A lot of people have Steam Decks, $500, $400-plus device just to stream games from their ridiculous computer fucking a few feet away. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
Damn.
Shit, boy.
All right.
Isn't
Sorry.
That nuts?
Yeah, no.
I completely understand. And I did this to you last time with the chicken pizza thing.
Oh, the chiz in your mouth? I'm going to chiz. You want to taste my chiz?
Get down on your knees. I am going to chiz.
I'm going to put my chiz in your chin.
Oh.
I was thinking about it. It is basically...
Chicken parm. With pepperoni.
Yes.
Which, by the way, if you haven't made that already, that's great.
So that's why, I think I was like, I just want to taste it. Like, I think I might, I hate the name. I hate the,
don't call
you know,
it
I
that.
Hate that you're selling it, but I still am intrigued.
But, and yet.
And that's what they want.
Right.
And I'm letting
That is what they want.
I'm letting Big Chicken win.
No. We're Chicken Little.
Also, anyway, Popeyes for life. KFC, you ain't shit.
Yeah, no, Popeyes came and, like, I don't even know. The military has something to do with chicken?
Popeyes
I don't know what
gang,
you mean.
And I'm going to say something outrageous right here.
Oh.
Outrageous. Church's chicken, overrated. I will say it loud and clear. Church's chicken, overrated.
Okay, listen. You're...
I might
You're
be, I'm
completely
in-
entitled to your opinion. And I think the problem is a lot of churches is that Southern style, like batter that they do.
I've had
the
it.
Only people. No, absolutely. We've all had it. We've all had all the chickens.
You
of
can't
course,
get more Southern than Popeyes. What are you?
Well,
talking
that's Louisiana
about?
Creole. Remember,
we're down south.
We are down south, but it's a different Creole sort of south. Churches is kind of that Midland
that?
South.
Oh, is that like Tennessee?
That Midland South. I don't know actually where churches comes from. But that batter, it's the same batter they do fish in, like at a fish fry. It's really simple, just yellow batter.
Bruh.
You know what I mean? It's not yellow when you get it all fried. It's brown, obviously. But it's the simple thing. And I don't know. I like flavor in my chicken batter. So I also like Popeyes.
I've just never been like... I've been... Every time I've had... Church's chicken, I've just been like, well, this is prepared in a very mediocre way.
Yeah.
I've never been like, oh my God,
you've never
this
been
is
hyped.
Like hot and juicy and wonderful. And like, no, it's like you deep fried it for too long and there's like a hole missing in the chicken. You know what I mean? Like, because it burned through. Stuff
there's
like
been
that.
A leak in the chicken.
Yeah.
There's been...
You might have pulled that basket a little, just a hair sooner.
Like 2 minutes soon.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll die on that hill, but...
It could have been someone's first day. I do like to remind everyone who had a terrible, especially fried food situation.
Yeah.
I'd like to remind everyone that I actually knew a person, an acquaintance of ours in high school that worked at a Wendy's and got fired for... putting the fries in for half the time they're supposed to be in. So he served
fired?
Many times.
Oh, so
a few times. He did it a few times, you know what I mean?
Oh.
Like
Like, was he just being impatient?
I don't
because
know.
Because it beeps at you when it's done.
Do the nuggets and fries different times?
Yeah, you hit a, you drop the that basket, you hit a button.
How he described it to us was he was like, I heard the beep.
Oh, no. Coming out. Okay.
And
well, I think the beep is accompanied with like a flashing light, you know, so you
I
can kind of
didn't agree. I was peer. Like, I was like, bro,
I ran couldn't actually running the French fry machine at McDonald's was sick.
Like, a lot of fun.
That was actually not bad. It like pre yeah. Someone's like jamming outside. I love it.
Okay. No, it is a beautiful.
It's
day.
A beautiful day. It's daylight savings day. You know, second day.
Look at our,
daylight savings.
Look at our,
we have light.
Look at our light.
I'm sure in about by the time we're halfway done with this, it'll be dark and we'll have to flip that light on.
You'll
but
be
until then.
You'll be shining off my reflection.
You running the machine was cool because it filled the basket for you with the, you just hit a button and it would just like drop fries into it.
What?
And then you went over and you just dropped the basket, you know.
I didn't know it did that much for you.
Oh yeah. You just dropped the basket in, hit the button for the size that you filled the basket to, cause there's different fullnesses that you can fill it. And then it would just go, it would beep at you. And then you're like, if you're a G, you leave it in for just a little
a
long,
second, a few seconds couple, longer,
you know, so it's crispy, a little crispy. And
you
then you put it up,
boys.
You pick it up out of the thing, and then you set it on this hook. The end of the basket has a hook,
it
and it
drains.
Grabs the wall, and then you kind of bang on it to drop that oil off.
Good.
And then you throw it in the thing, and then you salt the shit out of it. Like, there's a little mini silo of salt that you just flip over. And
I have seen the salt is so unique. It is, it's like a carpet bombing
mm-hmm.
of salt. Like, it's like uniform, and they just tip it over.
Yeah.
No, you're
toss some fries, Phil. I had McDonald's for the first time in a grip, and they straight
did
up.
Did you good?
They
made you good
they,
French fries.
They made me good French fries, but they only gave me like half a thing, like a half a medium. I was so irritated. I was like, God damn it! Like, what are y'all doing?
I only get this every once in a while. I wanted my treat.
Yeah. Anyway, I digress.
Digressions ended.
Welcome, like I said,
to our
video game podcast that Kevin and I do. Hope y'all are doing well. I hope y'all are flexing on some video games.
Yes, and I hope daylight savings time didn't hit you too hard.
Unless you're in Arizona or Hawaii.
Yeah. I don't know about you. I was watching Cat Williams. I hit a bull at 148. I hit a bull and I was like, God, I love Cat Williams. He's so funny. Pimp Chronicles.
Yeah.
The first one.
Oh,
I went
God.
Back and I was like,
is like, that the one where he's talking about
death.
His fridge?
Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. That was like one of his first.
I bet
specials.
You. I bet you ain't shit in there. Yeah. He's like some shit make you so high. You
mm-hmm.
got you staring at the fridge saying, "I bet you ain't shit."
Mm-hmm.
In there. Yeah. Stealing the cereal from his child.
The Snoop Dogg, like passing the blunt around. Bit.
No, Snoop Dogg does the intro, but I think the bit is actually in a later one.
Okay.
I'm gonna hunt them all
okay.
down.
No,
we're
yeah,
gonna do
okay.
a renaissance.
Oh.
We're going through a cat renaissance.
He himself has had a resurgence.
He's coming back. That
yeah.
Shay Shay interview was. Steve Harvey is the devil, and he wears a dress. No, I love him so much.
He was on Joe Rogan.
You told me he did Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I just saw like a clip, you know, on
what is that? Two meteors
subreddit.
Colliding, like, and just not being able
well,
to move
it's
each
so
other.
It's so funny because Joe goes, what's up with black people and menthol, like, menthol cigarettes?
Are you
and,
kidding me?
No. And then
he asked Cat Williams,
yeah,
what's up
and
with
Cat
black
William,
people?
Cat Williams is like, Joe Rogan. You know, this is a very racist topic, but you know, I agree with you, and I'm going to tell you my answer right now. And like us two right now, we are the same, but because we're talking about this is racist.
Wow.
And he was like, it was just like so funny. It was so funny. He's just Joe Rogan.
In the Pimp Chronicles Part 1, this is the last off-topic thing I'll do. In the Pimp Chronicles Part 1, he literally is like, the war in Iraq is a lie. You're being lied to. And then right after that, he's like, Michael Jackson, fuck them kids.
Oh shit.
And like loud and clear. And I was like, he's been trying to tell us the whole time. You know what I mean? He's always been trying to tell
us. Do you think MJ really did though?
Me? Personally?
Yeah.
No. I believe he was a castrato. I believe Joe Jackson
had his
balls removed to maintain a you know, a pitch perfect soprano.
Right.
And
a eunuch.
There are, yeah. Yeah. I think so. So I don't think he was capable of sex.
Is everything.
I don't think he was capable of sex. And I also wonder if that, were to be true, I wonder if the lack of testosterone production would even allow him to have sexual thoughts.
I do not know that he, I bet that he didn't, I bet what he might have done behind closed doors could be construed as sexual assault.
I bet it could have been wildly inappropriate.
Yes. Yes. And in
I
a
bet
weird,
it could have been. I
in
bet
a
it could
weird
have been.
Way, bro. In a weird way. In a way,
she can be fucked up with and traumatizing without being sexual assault necessarily.
Look at Corey. What's his face?
Feldman,
or is it Corey Feldman?
The Feldman, yeah.
Is that the dude that
Feldman
from Stand
and
by
Haim.
Me?
Yeah, Corey Feldman, Corey Hames, and Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, well, Macaulay Culkin made it out.
He did make it out, but he was his favorite.
He made it out.
He was his favorite.
Well,
him
I think Macaulay
and,
Culkin would have said, like, I got assaulted.
Him and Chris Tucker.
Chris Tucker?
Sorry. That's Cat Williams. You're going to have to, we might have to sit down one day with a cognac.
Oh my God.
And some popcorn.
Oh shit.
And watch this Club Shay Shay interview.
Damn
it.
It
is,
all right.
It is like,
it's long too, isn't it?
I remember, I think it's 2 hours.
Yeah, I thought so.
But I remember like, I was watching it and I was like, The Irishman ain't shit. You know, like I was like,
this is
way
better.
Loving this.
This is so much better.
All right. Tell, I'm still on my same games. Helldivers is as tough as shit. I have nothing to report. What about you?
No, same, man. Over the weekend, I had to do a bunch of chores.
You
and
babysat
like,
as well.
Yeah.
Sat baby hard.
I watched my 8-month-old baby nephew.
How'd you feel? We spent the whole week watching the Eagle in preparation. You know what I mean? Did
I roll,
you feel like that
well,
helped you?
No, yeah. I rolled him around with
all
my
right.
beak.
Okay.
Like, I good. Made sure, you know, yeah. I sat on
you were
him.
Like...
I kept him warm.
just strewn out.
No, we banged on some
dancing fruit.
Dancing fruit.
Which,
we had
by the
a little
way,
dance party.
I'd watch that.
I will, yeah.
No, I fuck yeah.
It kept him occupied. Apparently, he's teething.
So
like,
he's trying to bite.
It could no. He's just in pain and like uncomfortable, and he's trying to chew on his shit. We didn't know where the pacifiers were because my sister neglected to tell us. So we're just like we're out in the wind.
You were like, I'm gonna go outside and get you a stick, pal. Dogs love these.
We'll find something. So we were just we did good. It was just until we had to try and put him. We couldn't figure out why he wouldn't go to sleep. It took him about 30 minutes of screaming his head off. And like halfway
through.
Is that
just baby mode shit? Like,
dude, well,
they just have to get it out?
I did not realize the decibel at which a child.
Was he hitting big ones?
Can hit. Dog, I wish I had earplugs just for the safety of my ears. I don't have good ears to begin with. I have like tinnitus and shit.
But it hurt.
He hit a notes where like, you know where you're like missing notes? From like something being so loud, like it's like you're like missing
it's
some of it.
Stressing your ear.
Yeah,
like you're stressed.
That's
stress.
Where he was hitting in my ear, dude.
Like and, a firearm.
Yeah,
and, maybe firearm.
Yeah, because he was not happy. He was straight up having a bad time, and
with no way to discuss it.
Yeah,
just no way to discuss it.
So we're just trying. You know, you're just trying to do your best. You're like burping him. You're trying to like. Pop, you know, hold them and soothe them and bop them up and down.
And you're like, you're going to poop?
Him.
I know this can happen at any time.
Yeah, he didn't shit himself.
All right.
Like, we only had to, he, like, peed himself. So we, like,
do that.
You know, we changed it and it was all good.
Right on.
Well,
good.
Yeah, so it was tight, but, like, I just didn't have time to play video games this
weekend. I get it. Busy boy.
But you know what? We should just get into this podcast where I heard
right into it.
We are going to be talking about former PlayStation boss calls exclusivity the industry's Achilles heel. Helldivers 2 has shown that. This is a PC Gamer article. We're also going to be talking about meet the company bringing classic games to Switch, PS5, and Xbox, quote, by mistake, on accident. That's the implicit conversion is the company they're talking about there, and we'll be talking about that also. And then we got a Variety article. AI is sticking point in SAG-AFTRA. I never knew there was an R in there. I thought it was always AFTA. SAG-AFTRA video game contract
talks.
Maybe they just added it. It might be.
Because I thought it was SAG-AFTRA too.
Strike appears 50-50 or more likely. So that's... Not 50-50.
That's not 50-50.
Union chief says at South by Southwest.
That's so funny that they said it at South by Southwest.
I know, right? What a weird just, time to announce this.
Incubus is playing behind them.
Pardon me.
We're gonna fucking strike, dude. AI. Yeah. I know it's also, you know, an event, guys. You don't have to troll me.
It's fine.
Incubus is tight, though. Let's get right into it.
All right. You want the first one?
I do. I'll take it. I'll take it right off your hand. I just took a big sip of water. I'm ready to read. Harvey Randall's words from PC Gamer. Former PlayStation boss calls exclusivity the industry's Achilles heel. Helldivers 2 has shown that, quote, as PC players, we've had ample reason to gripe about the culture of console exclusivity for some time. These games are running on hardware that's often a smidge outdated by the time it hits the shelves, yet we can't get our grubby little mitts on them, question mark? Granted, there's plenty of reasons as to why a dev team would want to optimize something for a specific loadout. The PC's breadth of potential compatibility issues are a complete nightmare, especially as games get bigger in scope, and it has been, and we have talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
PlayStation has been a particular pain point over the last few years with some genuinely excellent games, like Final Fantasy VII Remake, the new Gods of War, and Insomniac Spider-Man taking their sweet time to mosey onto Steam. Trends have continued with Rebirth, God of War, Ragnarok, and Spider-Man 2, respectively. But worry not, seems the tide is largely turning. According to both PlayStation's current president and now its former one, too. It's according to an interview with ex-head honcho Sean Layden, courtesy of GamesBeat. Yo, Sean Layden was a dude. He was through like some eras, like PS2. He was just like
formative years.
Finna carry this on my back.
Formative years.
He says when your costs for a game exceed $200 million,
it's insane.
Exclusivity is your Achilles heel. It reduces your addressable market. Particularly when you're in the world of live service gaming or free to play. Another platform is just another way of opening the funnel and getting more people. I mean, money. I mean, people in. Unquote. Layden's reasoning here that console exclusivity primarily hurts live service games is a smidge corporate, especially considering many of the PlayStation exclusives I've been drooling over are single player games. Still, when he notes that in a free to play world, as we know, 95% of those people will never spend a nickel. You have to improve your odds by cracking the funnel open. He's not necessarily wrong. Spend a nickel.
I mean,
love when rich people are like, just want you to crack.
It's just a dollar.
Just give me a dollar, fella.
It's just a nickel.
No, you want a lot of my dollars.
Yeah.
I'm going to skip down a little bit further down here to where he's talking about Helldivers here. Because we all know that MMOs going live service, you know, everyone, they all want their money.
Yeah.
While live service Golden Goose is still being chased by many developers, clearly, it's actually really hard to get one off the ground. Layden adds, Helldivers 2 has shown that for PlayStation coming out on PC at the same time, again, you get that funnel wider. You get more people in. I do think part of Helldivers 2's success is down to its fairer premium currency system, but the wider player pool does not hurt. As for single-player titles, Layden says there's ground to benefit there, too. For single-player games, it's not the same exigency. But if you're spending $250 million, please, thank you,
you want to
be able to sell it to as many people as possible, even if it's just 10% more people. He notes that while the console user base has increased raw spending over time, he looks and sees that we're just taking more money from the same people.
Exigency, a state of affairs that makes urgent demands.
Oh.
Would not have guessed.
Urgent demands. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, that is fair. I would like to address Sean Layden's idea that Helldivers 2 did better as a game as a whole because it was on PC and PlayStation at the same time and were, you know, immediately cross-plat. I think that is entirely one small part of why it's doing so well. Number one, I think the huge thing is I still haven't figured out is that this game was like more or less word of mouth marketed to millions of people on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
This game was all over TikTok. I had no idea.
So it just had like a viral presence that was
really, that was like
really strong.
Yeah. That came out of nowhere. Like we said, we talked about before, Starship Troopers, pretty funny movie, pretty cool premise. Not something I was thinking about every day.
No, at all. Yeah.
But people absolutely love it. And what I was stoked for is that in that game, you got to aim all the time. So I wanted to play it with mouse and keyboard. So I bought it on PC and I can play it with my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that. I would have probably gotten it on PlayStation and just suffered through playing it with the sticks and just not been as crack shot.
Do you think, I'm trying to wrap my mind around the whole, you know, is it really better or is it not?
To come out on everything?
To just, I mean, I from an altruistic point of view, I think it is. I think it is better for gamers, for people that want to play games, no matter what they come out on, that's the best option, is that that there's no exclusivities.
I agree.
I don't know.
From the other side of the coin, though, what they were saying about, you know, the hardware compatibility is, I mean, they're right. Like, the PlayStation 5 came out as a loss-leading product with, like, last year's best tech in it, you know, when it came out. It's already old. Now it's not so old that it's not fire. Yeah, at that point, you know what I mean? But the floor is low. And with PCs, you can take the ceiling so high, right? But PlayStation specifically is having trouble helping you do that when they port their games to PlayStation. Or I'm sorry, to PC from PlayStation. It took a lot of optimization to get Spider-Man and God of War where they are. Where, you know, whereas on PlayStation, they're like, look, it works great, you know, because every PlayStation is the same.
It would be nice if they...
I think we need a higher floor. I think the console needs to be developed in a way that, like, by the time it comes out, it's not old.
Yeah, it needs to be a PC.
Y'all need to put the graphics card in the last thing you do and then chip it. And it needs to be a PC. And we need to move to a thing that's a PC.
Yeah.
I do think...
I bet that at some point they'll have a prepackaged tiny little... It's a console. It's a console that's just
they
a
should
fucking
do that.
Banger
It'd be
of
so
a fucking...
perfect.
It just doesn't look like a tower. You know what I mean?
I bet you we're gonna. I bet you the next Xbox is not even a console. I bet it's a little box that you plug into a TV that does Game Pass shit. I bet it's a fucking
like a Roku thing, like a little box,
but with a processor in it. You know, nice one.
Yeah,
but it just like play Fortnite right off your TV, bitch. You know, I bet it's gonna be like that.
You know, I had a thought. You know, we're talking about like microtransactions and paid service games and all that stuff because. They need to make more money because they have to make
the costs were so outrageous.
They have to make shareholders happy. They're beholden
year
to,
over year.
To make more money every single year. And like, what does that look like? Like, at what point are they going to start like holding a gun to our heads and being like, "Give us the money now"? Or like, you know, that's a little extreme. But
well, we're getting
what's
close.
It gonna look like? What's the next step after paid services? Like
where we're at here, I think developers would love to see every like game, every $65, $70 game. I think they'd like to see that be $100 flat. Number one, I think the guy.
I bet you. Oh my god!
The guy who said Grand Theft Auto 6 should be $250 based on how much we're working on it.
Yeah,
that's the head guy at Take Two. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's. He's in charge. He could do that if he wanted.
I bet you.
Make that prediction.
I bet you $5.
Predict that,
bro. $5. The next thing, one day in the future, I don't know if it's 10 years from now or what, 15 years, 20 years, they're going to be like, get your video game minutes card where you can play this game when you buy your minutes, bro.
That's fucking China, dude. I don't like that at all.
Dude, I know. It makes you sick.
Oh, my God. But you can't come after my games. I own them.
That's what I'm saying. Buy that shit on hard copy. As much as you can, fellas, ladies,
and
others.
You come for my games?
Yeah, bro. I'm telling you.
Minutes?
Because you think about it, like, just keep following.
That's social credit.
Keep following. It's gaming credit. Like, yeah, like, dude, it's like... They're going to go back to
you
where,
are late
remember,
on your rent.
Great, you remember like the nostalgic times when people had to fucking pump quarters into a machine to play a video game?
What happened to that?
Why don't we go back to that? We were making good money off of that, you know?
You know, and I would see my mother calculate the fucking waste of time that giving me quarters to go to the arcade is, like the waste of money valued of like, well, I'll know where he's at for like the next 30 minutes and I can go do my thing.
Sure.
Because I imagine my mom probably did want a minute away from me occasionally.
Yeah.
I could see her, like, every time I'd be like, Mom, can I go to the arcade? She'd like, I could see the math. I could see the trig.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's like.
Maybe someone will take him.
She's like, yeah, I got a five. I got a hot five for you right here. You're right. Ooh, we get to.
I don't know,
we
man.
We get to like Destiny 3, you know, buy your monthly gaming hours. I will be
upset.
I
just hate that, like, there's a part of my brain that goes, that could really be a possibility.
It absolutely could happen. I just, if it happens, I'll be so sick. I'll be sick to my stomach.
Yeah.
God, what did India call their PUBG again? Hold on 1 second. I'll find it. Indian
I don't
PUBG
recall.
Mobile name. Battlegrounds Mobile India. No. What's the actual name, though? Oh, it had such a fucking... Remember, it was like Battle for Glorious fucking...
Oh, yeah!
Yeah, dude! It was like Battle for Glorious Nation or something.
That's fire.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. Good. I like that a lot.
All right,
let's move on.
Let's move on. Hey, and thank you, Sean Layden, for sharing your thoughts. You were the man once.
For sure. All right, this is a Time Extension article. This is a new article, a new publication. We've never read this one on here.
I love its color scheme.
It is very vaporwave. Mm. This is Faith Johnson's words. A featured article. Meet the company bringing classic games to Switch, PS5, and Xbox by mistake. Robin,
I love the by mistake.
Robin Lavallee. Has been in the industry for a long time, but traces his love for gaming back to his father when his father bought him a TRS-80 computer when he was 9. I started programming and never stopped. These people that were like, I was 9 years old and I just started coding. It's like, I don't understand how their brains could understand the syntaxes of everything. You know what I mean?
I completely understand this.
Yeah. No, this completely makes sense. Yes.
All right.
But anyway,
zero,
I digress.
Zero, one,
I started programming and never stopped. He sells Time Extension. I learned to program in C, and as a teenager, made multiple games and various mods for Doom-like games. I worked for Final Fantasy II. That's...
Lit?
4? Why does it have...
Oh, see? Okay. Here's why. Final Fantasy II...
Japanese?
Japan. 4 here.
Okay.
Yep.
Port for PC and a puzzle game named Chicken Little based on a Puyo Puyo with my friend Jacob Stein. This game and its demo won us a prize and helped land my first commercial job at Ubisoft.
What a prize indeed.
Yeah. While at Ubisoft, Lavallee worked in his way up to director and worked on many popular franchises such as Prince of Persia, Heroes of Might and Magic, and Hearthstone.
Damn!
Wow, that's a that's quite the
resume. Yeah.
Following other jobs at Freema, Twitch, and Meta, Lavallee has now settled his role as CEO of Implicit Conversions. The company develops emulation software that enables old classics to run smoothly on modern consoles. I have always wanted to resurrect retro games, Lavallee explains. There are too many forgotten games that are just completely lost nowadays, usually due to legal and hardware reasons. Also, even with quality of life improvements, setting up these old consoles can be complicated. Dude, this white on black background is fucking with my eyes.
Is it?
Yeah, it's all right. On modern it's just, I have to like really read each word. It became clear that we needed a simple solution to emulate classic games to new consoles. This is where the Syrup Engine, SYRUP, I wonder if that's an acronym, came from. It's named after the wonderful maple syrup that we enjoy in Canada, eh? I have a sweet tooth. All right.
Syrup sucking your wrinkled up penis.
Dope.
I got him.
Syrup allows developers to interface retro games with modern consoles like PS5 and Netflix. Nintendo Switch. Reads the company's site. Its architecture handles display, audio controls, network, and add-ons like trophies. It consists of multiple emulators modified by lightweight plugins. It optimizes for reusability on the front end features and portability of emulator plugins. We asked Lavallee how the technology works and how it's different from other emulators already available. Open source emulators already exist, he says, but they have various levels of quality and robustness for production level games. When you emulate a console game, you can't expect the user to tweak through the multiple configuration settings to find the best experience. So we aim to make it easy to use.
They do it
for
you.
Yeah.
Game by game, too.
Hey, man, that's a.
Oh, what a fucking sick.
Ah, oh, what a sick job that
would
be. Yeah,
that'd be very fun.
Oh, today I'm going to make my 19 favorite Super Nintendo games the best they can ever be on the Syrup Engine.
Wow. Implicit conversion Syrup Engine has also helped overcome some of the issues surrounding legal emulation that can be stifled by not owning the original hardware BIOS.
Mm.
We were Nintendo. Mm. We reverse engineered the BIOS and write a new compatibility version, says Lavallee. We also use a high-level emulated BIOS, which is another rewrite of the BIOS, but without implementing all of its parts.
Oh.
This enables us to avoid implementing some of the code that was necessary for the old console hardware.
They cut all the fat out. Yeah. They probably all the fucking piracy rechecks and redirects, too. They're just like, yeah, let's just slice that right out.
That's really interesting.
Oh, no, that's fucking
There's lit. Like 10 more paragraphs.
Yeah, it's
so
too
I'm
much.
I'm not going to read the whole thing, but...
It's too much more
Let me just say this one. Yeah. Implicit conversion has worked on many titles since the launch, and Lovely points out that some of the highlights as well as the challenge challenges his team has overcome. Some of the favorites are Jet Moto,
mm-hmm.
Grandia, the Legend of Dragoon,
played
and several Star Wars games. We also built great relationship with Namco, and we're proud when Soul Calibur, Broken Destiny, and Tekken 6 came out. Valkyrie Profile was a challenging game. Valkyrie Profile was a challenging game and it's required lots of tweaks to get correct. There were changes needed to upscale textures and movies, and the movies were improved through AI to insert missing frames. Finally, the game used lots of features of the PSP system software and other games did not, and there were tons of bugs to fix as well, but the result was awesome, though.
Yeah, last year, unbeknownst to me at all, they redid, you know, in their own little way, Tekken 6 for PS4 and 5. But I think the reason I'm so freaked out about it is because Tekken 6 was a PSP game. They put a mainline Tekken game out on the PSP.
That's weird.
The sixth one. They were like, there you go.
On the PSP, there's hella people playing PSP. I bet they didn't sell a lot of copies.
You know, the PSP did all right. Because that was going up against the Game Boy Advance.
Mm.
But when the DS came out and the Vita had to fight with it, Sony was like, fuck this.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
I didn't even care in the first place.
Yeah, they were like, you know what? I didn't even want to win. Mm-mm. So yeah. What does it fucking matter, you know?
Yeah, I was just killing time.
That's really funny. I fuck with the shit heavy, dude, because I will absolutely pirate. And then emulate whatever I want. Mm-hmm. But if you make it like really easy like this, like to play on my shit, I'll fuck with this more. Like, I'll pay you money for it because.
So do they kick money to like the person, like the people who made the console or the company that made the game?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's a licensing.
Because I was reading this and I was curious how they made their bag. And
I bet it's like, hey, I'm going to put your game out again.
Yeah, I'm going to kick you some money so you're satisfied.
Yeah, I'm going to kick you 30% of gross, you know, because it's your IP. But, like, I did quite the work on this.
We're going to pay our bills and our employees with this chunk.
And it sounds like they're doing all right at it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is. I fuck with them heavy for this, and I really appreciate that. He does go on to say that he wants to eventually scale the engine to not only do retro games, but do... you know, Unreal conversions and other things as well. And I wish him the best of luck and the company as well. It's a sick company. Implicit Conversions.
Tight.
Very cool.
Very tight.
Well, let me take us to back to the world of Hollywood.
Yeah.
I'm the Joker, baby.
We have a Variety article here by Cynthia Littleton. It says AI is the sticking point in SAG-AFTRA video game contract talks. Strike appears 50-50 or more likely, which is not 50-50. Union chief says at South by Southwest. Is this the union chief here? He is decked out head to toe in SAG-AFTRA merch, so I have to imagine. What is this little... Check out his cool lav. So a little wireless lav.
Oh, dude, have you seen the lavs now, dude?
Tell me about them.
They're so smart. They make them wireless, and they put a little magnet that you can put under the clothing, so it just clicks. It just holds it up against the fabric.
This guy looks
man.
Like he has the iPod Nano with no screen version. clippy.
This is like, I mean? Yeah, this is some. I bet that's wired. I bet they threw that on him real quick. To just catch what he was saying.
You know what I had noticed? I see. You know, he's got a bunch of microphones because obviously a ton of publications are taking his words. When we were watching Ted Lasso, the new thing is like he's the football manager, and he does the post game.
Yeah,
he sits down. There's only two microphones, and then there's fucking 40 iPhones and shit, like with just voice recorders on. That's just in front of him on the table. That's the new bag. They all just set their phone down and then go sit down.
Oh.
Yeah, instead of being like,
it's so crazy that the mics can be that good that they can just do that. You know.
Well, it is an Apple TV show, so I'm sure they're being like.
Somebody
in this Apple TV show
sat
down next
happening.
To a Mac, the nicest, biggest Mac ever seen, turned the screen off, and then opened a MacBook right next to it. And
hold
I was
on.
Like, guys, what are
this.
We
I have
doing?
$7,000, $17,000, actually, of equipment right here.
Hold on, let me Apple Vision Pro that for
you.
No, they don't do that. I digress. Issues. Who says it? Cynthia Littleton says, around the use of AI in the production process is the big sticking point in SAG-AFTRA's new negotiations with the largest video companies, SAG-AFTRA chief Duncan Crabtree Ireland said Saturday during a wide-ranging Q&A at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. Pause.
Weird thing.
That's a name. Is it his name?
Duncan Crabtree Ireland?
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay. Go ahead.
You know, to be in a movie in Hollywood and stuff, you got to be a part of
the union.
The union.
Yeah.
I don't think that's
or
the
independently
case. Well, the production has to be it's like all or nothing.
Okay. So
like
if you go union, everyone's union.
Yes.
And if you don't, everyone's not.
Yeah.
It's all scabs or
not,
all union.
Yeah, and I do not know how making a movie outside of that works. I don't know, you know, I don't know, but everyone in Hollywood, apparently, if you're going to be like a big star or work on like the big studios and stuff, decided that they all are part of this.
Right.
I do not think that's the case for video games.
You know it's still
means?
The Wild West.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they're talking about with the largest video game companies. I'm hoping that maybe they do.
They talk about a few of them.
They expand it. Okay.
Crabtree Ireland, who is national executive producer and chief negotiator of the Performers Union, said he puts the chances of union members striking against key game companies is 50-50 or more likely than that. We will go on strike in the next 4 to 6 weeks because of our inability to get past these issues. In September, some 98% of SAG-AFTRA members voted to authorize a strike against major video game producers, including Activision, Microsoft, Electronic Arts, Epic Games, Take-Two, and WB Games. The union leader acknowledged that there are strong opinions and divisions within SAG-AFTRA's 160,000-plus members about how to handle the threat to human performers posted by emerging AI and generative AI tools. Some pushed the union to demand an outright ban on the use of AI in union-covered productions, and Crabtree Ireland said Crabtree Ireland said he know that was a non-starter.
there's got to be less. They just have to have less power in the video game industry because there's so many small studios. There's four man like that make a video game that kicks the dog shit out of a quadruple
WB game,
A game
quarter, yeah,
a quadruple A game fucking Sea of Thieves. You know what I mean, like.
It's not even Sea of Thieves.
Or whatever the fucking
game
is called.
Yeah, I know. You can't even remember it because that's how fucking worthless it was. We waited for that fucking pirate game to come out so fucking long. Sea of Thieves is the pirate game that's been out.
What's the one that's... Oh, that's correct.
Uh-huh.
What's the new one called? Anyway.
Fucking...
Pirates... The quest for
the Pirate's Life for me.
For booty. It fucking...
Ubisoft's Pirate Land.
That CEO guy was like, it's actually like a quadruple A game, you know? And then Dave the Diver comes along from like, you know, it's not a small studio, but like...
A small production, though.
Yeah.
A small production.
Or a game like that.
Yeah.
Comes along and just kicks the dog shit out of...
Also, if you don't want to do voice acting, a ton of games have gotten away by just having it be like...
Oh, sure.
Skibidi-bidi-bop. And that shit's fun to do. So, like, I would skibbity bop your whole game.
You know,
for
voice acting, it gets murky because like you don't want it to be. You don't want these guys to be able to like take, you know, take Solid Snake's voice and use it as much as you
do whatever they want,
whatever they want. Right. You know what I mean? And like voice over like Jar Jar Binks and like a, you know, give him that just
Misa. So
yeah, exactly.
Colonel Misa, so horny.
Exactly.
Misa gonna do a gun.
Well, maybe that's
pants.
A bad example. That could be actually pretty awesome. But I actually might take that Star Wars the game dub over.
Okay, yeah,
that was
have
a bad example. But
dude,
you get my point.
Apparently, Variety doesn't do any sort of at least on this article. But I don't want to get litigious, but there's a lot of grammar mistakes in this. And it's been out for like long enough, you would think they would have
it. It was probably written by AI.
Yeah.
And they didn't proofread it.
Underneath the bridge. We're going. We're here. We are. We're so. And this is so much worse because you know what they're about to strike about? Mm. They want to strike so that a company can't do what you just said. You worked for a company beforehand, and they're just going to take your voice, pay you nothing,
yeah,
and just, hey, guess what? Which Solid Snake's going to be in the next fucking 80 Metal Gear Solid games, and we're going to pay you fuck shit.
That I get. When
sounds like a fucking deal.
When it becomes, you know, but it's kind of like Hollywood. It doesn't really bring the same power if... I mean, for these big companies, they are spending, like we just said in that last article, $200 million or something like on a game. That's more money than 17, 20, 30, 40 people will have in their whole life combined.
And that's a movie, too. Like, a bad movie might be $200 million.
Oh, yeah. That's
no marketing.
Yeah. That's Aquaman 2.
That's a Suicide Squad again.
Yeah.
Again.
Let's Suicide Squad. Let's kill ourselves another time.
How much was the budget? I need it here. Before we go, before we let this SAG-AFTRA thing go, I want to find out how much was the budget for Metal Gear Solid 2. And I need to find out 2001 money to right now.
I'm guessing $10 million. No? More? Less?
First of all, it almost brought a tear to my eye because you nailed it. It was $10 million.
Uh-huh.
They said, quote, it was similar to the budget of a Japanese Godzilla film.
Okay, $10 million. That's
$10 million to make one of the best games ever created.
24 or 5 years ago, right?
Yeah. It's 23 years.
23. It was 2002?
2001.
One?
Yeah. Remember, because he almost had to not put it out for September 11th. Damn, dude.
Are you really?
Yeah.
No, the first Metal Gear Solid?
Two. Like, Metal Gear Solid 2 Sons of Liberty.
Yeah. Oh, no. I was talking about the first one because I played that one like right after eighth grade.
Metal Gear Solid 1 was 90...
Eight,
I want to say. Okay. 1998, and the budget for Metal Gear Solid 1.
It was probably like $1.3 million.
18 cents. Also $10 million.
$10 million. Okay.
Yeah. Apparently, that's the Konami was just like, here, have $10 million.
That's your budget.
You making a game?
That's your budget.
Don't buy too much pizza for your folks. All right.
No, don't have too many pizza parties.
Yeah, make it last.
Okay. Right.
Now that's pretty funny. 98. In 98, okay, so that was the other thing I needed. 2001 money to now money conversion. All right. A dollar in 2001, equivalent to $1.65 in 2002. So 1.65 times 10 million.
So was that like $16 or $18 million or something like that?
It's 16 million, $16.5 million is what they would have made to make that game then.
Nothing.
And now today they're just like, put another 200 mil on this dog shit donkey, this dunkaroo that, it'll clear. It will be green on this piece of shit. What are you calling it? Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 again? Righteous warfare. Cum drop soup. Fucking goddamn, dude. What are you calling that one? What are you calling that one? Aliens versus Predators versus Godzilla versus my inner monologue. Come on, fellas.
I had some cum drop soup over the weekend.
Was it delicious?
This egg drop soup I had was fire.
Hey.
Dude, you hit egg drop soup with just a little pepper. Dude. It's so good.
It's someone I know who love, and I might even love him. was like, "Fuck you doing to that egg drop soup? You ruining it over there?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm just making it perfect."
Yeah.
It's salty enough. Doesn't need any salt.
No, it does not. It's a
little peppy. Yeah, and then you throw those little crunchies.
Crunchies.
Before we go.
Okay.
Crunchies.
Yes.
For the egg drop soup.
Yes.
All at once or few at a time?
Oh, no, at a time. Because you're going to go through it before you hit the bottom of that bowl.
You don't want them to be wet.
You don't want them to be hard.
You want them to be a little wet.
Yeah, it's kind of like...
You don't want them to be too hard or too soft.
It's kind of like an Oreo. There's a perfect softness.
God, I'm getting hungry.
Oh, I know. We're going to make some guacamole
egg drop
in a second.
I think we should keep our eyes out. If they do end up going on strike, it'll probably be a pretty big deal. Not for the gaming industry. They find scabs around everything, so they're not worried about it. But for the actual people involved, I would like to see some action. We were just listening to David Hayter a few months ago talk about how he was worried this was going to happen, and here it is. So in just a few short months, we've already gotten litigious about it, about to get crazy. Also, shout out to unions just being like, fuck this, stop working. Everyone, it's done. We're coming to work with a sign and we're outside, we're pissed now. And then Larry Davis is going to show up.
Yes. Awesome.
He does, though. He loves going to the...
Yeah, union. Well, he's just like, yeah, fuck those guys. Yeah.
he's like, occasionally I've been those guys. Yeah. They're terrible.
Yeah.
We're the worst.
Man.
All right. Thank you guys.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much for listening to our show. We clearly had a little bit too much fun today, but we hope you really enjoyed it too and had a lot of fun with us. We have been Getting the Car Gamer, a video games based podcast available everywhere podcasts are consumed, but the home base is at soundcloud.com/gettingthecargamer and on Spotify. So please check us out there. If you like the show, please give us a like. And if you want to hear more, please subscribe. And like I said, if you want to tell anybody about us, we would really appreciate that a lot. We also are a Twitch stream every Monday and Thursday. We got a little show for you that you can jump in and join and be a part of at twitch.tv/gettingthecargamer. So please check us out there as well. Until that time to which this podcast occurs again.
Oh, yeah.
It is time to go and get out of the car. Bye-bye, my friends.
Love you all.
Until next time, I'm the Joker, baby.
Peace.
Houston, we have a problem.